The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Hyundai. Now offering 5 years free servicing on every new 142 Hyundai. Ireland's fastest growing car brand.
Now, like going out on a boat in the Liffey, the Burren is one of those places I've always wanted to go. And last Thursday, Owen Sweeney and myself headed off to Corrafin in County Clare, which was absolutely gorgeous. There we met Tony Kirby, who set up Heart of the Burren Walks about 10 years ago. We drove out the road to the Burren National Park, where we walked for the next few hours. Have a listen to the result. I'm looking around me, Tony, and what strikes you is, you know, there's all the fields, the green, the grass and that. But then you're looking at this moonscape. And why is this moonscape so special?
Yeah, it's the correct term for it is karst, a karst landscape. And this is actually the biggest karst landscape in Europe and one of the biggest in the world. And karst means anywhere in the world, bedrock exposed to the atmosphere and rainwater chemically dissolving it. And the reason why so much of the bedrock is exposed here is because two reasons. One is glaciation. Glaciers stripping away, stealing the soil in these hills. And secondly, overzealous farming in prehistory accentuated the erosion of the earth and exposed even more of the rock. So it's not a natural landscape at all. It's semi-natural, part glaciers natural, part artificial human agencies in prehistory.
Oh, I see.
I think Tim Robinson, the famous writer living in Connemara, said most memorably in about 10 words what it's all about up here. He said the Burren's austere beauty is due to millennia of abuse.
So it's a landscape that tells a story. Let's start walking and read some of those stories.
Great stuff. So this road we're on is actually a famine relief road from the 1800s. So it's an entirely useless infrastructural project. It's actually an unfinished famine relief road, but entirely useless. The idea was,
you couldn't just give the poor money for nothing. They had to earn it in some way.
Yeah, and you couldn't give them,
even though they were starving.
Exactly. And the idea was, give them work to do, then pay them money, then they buy food, and then they perceived the problem would be solved, as in the starvation would be stopped, and secondly, the market would not be interfered with. But as we know from history, these were abject failures. And these hills here that we're walking through at the moment have the famine written all over them. Not alone are we walking on a famine relief road, but if you look up there at that green area, the green land up there on the slope of the hill.
Like a green hill in the middle of all the grey lines.
Exactly. Now that's a drumlin, kind of a whale-backed ridge. But the significance of it is that it's got thick soil, and that means in the 1800s it would have been mercilessly exploited for potatoes. But you can make out the ridges there, the abandoned potato cultivation ridges, the vertical lines going down the field. And when all hope collapsed up there in that drumlin, in terms of the fungus attacking the potato, all hope transferred down onto this famine relief road. So it's a really great place to read the famine in the North Clare area.
We're walking very slowly because I'm trying to keep my eyes peeled on the ground, because you have to look where you're going here. It's easy to trip. But
absolutely,
let's try and catch up with that guy up there.
We haven't a hope.
No, I don't think so.
He's in orbit.
What's amazing, though, is you see, I mean, you're talking about keeping the hazel back and all the rest so all these flowers can grow. And you look, you know, from a distance it all looks grey, but then you start, it's like a mosaic, isn't it? And there's all tiny little flowers growing in all the little cracks and crevices here. And
what we do now...
Different varieties, actually, as well.
I'm just stop here for a moment now, and I'll just show you a couple of flower species, you know. Look at that in there.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
So you've got bell heather, bloody cranes build a geranium. You've got yellow rattle, the parasitic plant with a beautiful yellow flower. You've got some ferns, bracken. You've got beautiful native grass species. And you've got kidney vetch, all against the backdrop of a beautiful block of water-worn limestone. It's like a gardener's dream, but this is nature's work. It's very special.
And do you not get sick of it, Tony? I mean, you're out here, I don't know how many days a week, 6 months of the year, guiding people around the place. Do you ever feel you've told the story and that's it? How did you come to do this?
I'm a civil servant by profession, and I came to live here about 10 years ago with my wife, Emer. And we came here really for a new life, and I had been doing a little bit of walking tourism in Dublin before I came down. Decided when I came down here to become a full-time walking tourism operator. But I never do get sick of it, because I'm in an area of outstanding natural beauty for work. an area very rich in heritage. I'm meeting people from all over the world, and no, I never get sick of it. I love the job a lot.
But did your mother or your wife or whoever your friends not say to you, you're totally mad, there you were throwing away the good, steady, pensionable job, there we are, nobody will have pensions in the future, and you came down here to do walking tours, like, because you can't do much walking in the winter?
You sound exactly like my mother. I've already seen this film. Yeah, that's what my mother primarily said. You're mad doing this. But I would be earning a bit less than I did in Dublin in the public service. But I'm far happier, you know. It's a huge job satisfaction attached to this. And, you know.
It's the perfect time of year, isn't it? You've got the oxeye daisies, the buttercups. They're just beautiful, the white and yellow.
And, you know, the star performers here are the orchids.
Wild orchids?
Yeah, wild orchids. The rarer they are, the bigger the secret about where their station is, yes.
Okay, well, right. Maybe we'll stumble across a secret or two. Promise not to dig it up.
Oh, this one is very... This is really special, this one, because as you can see, it's all white in colour, no spots whatsoever.
Is that a Dactylorhiza?
Well done, yeah.
Yay, I got it! Never seen one. I've seen pictures, though, but I've never acted. If you know what a muscari looks like, it actually, that spring bulb, which is like a very small kind of hyacinth, it's like a white version of that, but it's actually a little native white wild orchid, and it's... I mean, it's incredible to see.
And it's funny, you know, you mentioned in fact it's a Dactylorhiza, you're quite correct. And this particular one is called, wait for it, Dactylorhiza Fuchsi F. O'Kelly E. It's named after a Burren farmer called Patrick Bernard O'Kelly. It's O'Kelly's orchid, it's his, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, he's immortalised in the name of this flower. He was from a farmer from up around Ballyvaughan, but he was a great amateur botanist, and he found this particular flower. He couldn't identify it. He pressed a copy, sent it to a scientist in Oxford in England, and that scientist, I think Claridge Bruce was his name, said, this is new to botany, this flower. He concluded, Claridge Bruce, that it was a white flowered form of the common spotted orchid, and he said, I'm now constrained, the scientist said, to give it a name for botany, for science, and he said, I now call it O'Kelly's spotted orchid. So this is Patrick Bernard O'Kelly's orchid. There's a Burren farmer here immortalised in the name of this flower.
That's gorgeous, and it's a beautiful flower too. When you hold a small piece of stone, and you can feel nearly even by rubbing it that there's grains coming off in your hands, so you can nearly feel how the rain would so easily dissolve, you know, this
Absolutely.
Very hard stone to look at and to touch.
Limestone, the most porous rock of all. So, yeah, it's a simple chemical process. Rainwater picks up a weak carbonic acid from the atmosphere. It's just dissolving away the limestone. So you're only seeing the micro solutions at a surface level, but the big statement here really is the vast mysterious underworld underneath us of cave systems. Some of the caves are already fossilized, their job is done, but some are still actively being formed by the rainwater dissolving the rock. So yes, a vast mysterious underworld underneath us. And not only that, the macro situation regarding this landscape in the long term is that if you come back on you to effect a little guided walking tour of the Rocky Burren in North Clare with me in the west of Ireland in 3 million years time, my repertoire will still be the same, but the Burren Hills will be gone. They'll have been dissolved away chemically, and it'll be, you know, flat all the way from Galway Bay west of here. It'll be sea level limestone pavement all the way into the next county, Galway. The hills will have been dissolved away.
While you were talking there, you'd mentioned the cuckoo earlier, and I hadn't heard it, but I heard it in the background when you were talking.
Yeah, he's right behind us there. That's the male, and he's calling out to the female. And one of the theories I heard about why he likes the Burren so much is obviously there's no urbanisation here, there's no coniferisation, there's no intensification of farming these uplands. But one theory I heard about him that's very plausible, he loves the visibility here. You know, the fact that the light reflected off the rock means the visibility is very fine. And for a cuckoo, the female particularly, visibility or eyesight, a good line of eyesight, is critical because they're monitoring the host bird that they're parasiting upon, and they have a tiny window of opportunity to do that between the time that other bird lays its eggs and the time they hatch. the cuckoo has to get its egg in there. We think now it's not, its eyesight is not good enough to actually see the eggs in the nest, but we reckon its eyesight is good enough, or its monitoring of the behaviour of the host bird suggests it now is the time to move. So the burren is a great stronghold of the common cuckoo still.
You have a real sense when you walk here, don't you, of all those generations going back thousands of years that have lived, worked and loved this landscape too, just like you, don't you?
We have a 6,000 year tradition of pastoral farming in these uplands, and of course the big statements of that are the megalithic tombs, the Stone Age tombs, which incidentally is just, you know, you only find these great megalithic structures in the, on the Atlantic facade of Europe, their particular way of burying their dead. And right down from that period to today, like, there's a, I think, a lot of people here with a kind of really intimate relationship with the landscape. It's great, you know.
Well, it looks fantastic. The sun has come out at last. The clouds are parting. We'll make our way back. But Tony, thanks a million for taking us out today. It's been a pleasure to walk the burren with
thanks
you.
Thanks a million. Go to Mila Margaret on you.
It's long before.
It's long.